Where two or more are gathered, two or more friends or family or strangers, where two or more are gathered, gathered at church, in the car, at the grocery store, where two or more are gathered, on site and online, where two or more are gathered, God is there. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link and get lots of information about life in the congregation and the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are also welcome in this community in whatever way has meaning for you. We have the playground down front today. The nursery is available but not staffed, so you can hang out in the nursery, but there's no loving staff in there today. And Sunday school is back next week. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit. Deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was. So they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Rick. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, we will turn toward justice, hope, and love. When the world is full of violence and war,
we will turn toward justice, hope, and love.
When life seems scary and painful,
we will turn toward justice, hope, and love.
When we are tempted to point fingers and blame,
we will turn toward justice, hope, and love.
Because God's children desperately need us. Amen.
I just want you to know, if you're in the hymnal, we're skipping verse 4. You are invited to rise in body or in spirit.
Our centering prayer this morning is by Carol Penner. We begin with a bit of silence. Sometimes in the silence, thoughts and questions and ideas come up that we've been working pretty hard to avoid. If and when they do come up today, try to make room for them in your heart to share them with God in prayer. Let us pray. Let us pray. God, who sees all spaces, you see the space between what we need and what we get, the space between the hunger and the nourishment provided, the space between our hopes and what actually happens. You see the cracks in our life out of which tears flow. Help us live through these spaces with hope in the face of emptiness, opening our hearts to your presence. Remind us that there is nothing you haven't been through, nowhere you don't go with us, as we were promised by Jesus, who also taught us to pray, saying, O life giver, in the heart of all being, holy is your presence. May your empire of grace replace our own, and your delight be fulfilled. As this world becomes heaven, give us our sustenance, one breath at a time, and make us completely forgiving of ourselves and others. Save us from the weakness of our will. Deliver us from the power of evil. For all being is yours, all power is yours, all glory is yours, in this moment, in eternity. Amen. In a world that too often passes around war, it is a radical act to pass the peace. We do so this morning, remembering the men and women around the world serving in the U.S. military and honoring those who have lost their lives in that service, and vowing us to do all we can so future generations will not go to war. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you.
And also with you.
Peace be with you. Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 46. The Psalms are part of the Hebrew Scriptures, a section of poetry written by people experiencing all the ups and downs of life and calling out to God in anger or joy or asking for help. In Psalm 46, the psalmist sees a world of trouble and a world in trouble and reminds themselves and us that God is present no matter what. Hear the words of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy inhabitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. God utters God's voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations God has brought on the earth. God makes wars cease to the end of the earth. God breaks the bow and shatters the spear. God burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. These are our sacred songs. May we sing them with our lives.
Amen. Doesn't Rick have a great reading voice? You could just like read the phone book and just be like, oh. So children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages, but I do need a few volunteers who might actually be willing to come down here and help me. You will be on camera, so make sure that's okay. And I could use like 3 volunteers. Gail's such a trooper. Paul's such a trooper. Paul is going, huh. Abai, you don't have to come. Like, I can just take these 2. Okay, but if anybody else changes their mind and wants, all right, Heather, you can come too if you want. Okay, we're gonna buy. All right, I could do 4. All right, do you know the game red light, green light? All right, so when there's a green light, you walk, right? We're not gonna run. And then when somebody says red light, you stop, right? Okay, so, and if you move, if I catch you moving after red light, what happens?
You go back. Well, you get, we're just going to make you back, go back to the start at this point. We're not that harsh. You're not out. We're going to make you go back to the start. Okay, so I'm going to go. You do not have to leave the room. All right, so I'm going to go down this end. Three of you go down there. All right, that's good. That's far enough. All right, and I'm going to hide my eyes, and I'm going to say green light, and that'll be time for you to go. Ready? Green light. Red light. Oh, Gail. I mean, I heard you squeak. Gail's back to the, go back, Gail. No, no, you're not out. You're just going to go back to the beginning, right? You got a chance. All right, ready? Green light. Red light. Paul. You. Ready? Ready one more time? All right. Green light. Red light. Oh, I didn't catch anybody that time. All right, one more. Green light. Red light. Oh! Abaya, nice job. All right, you all can go. Didn't Abaya do, didn't they all do great? It's hard to just stop though, isn't it, Gail? Right? But it's hard for any of us to just stop. In the psalm that Mr. Rick read for us, the author imagines God saying, be still. God says, be still. I imagine that God sees us just running around all the time and invites us to just stop and rest and be. But that's super hard because we have homework and we have sports practice and we have chores and we have friends to hang out with and we have family things to do and it's all important and it's all wonderful, but it is also important to stop and be still so we can rest and focus and breathe. So in the week ahead, maybe you could play red light, green light when you're doing other things. Like if you go to school, you're running around on the playground and you just say to yourself, red light, and you stop and breathe. Or you're helping clear the table after dinner and you say, red light, and you stop and you pay attention to what's around you. Or you're feeling frustrated with family and friends and you say, red light, and you just get still and ask God to help you be calm. Imagine if we all practiced just being still a little bit more, maybe the world would have more peace. There's no Sunday school today. Our kids of all ages are staying with us for worship, but we should still bless them. So would you get your blessing hands ready and join me in blessing the youngest among us? God of life and liveliness, bless the youngest members of our community. When life gets hectic and hard, may they know your peace and love. Same for us big kids too. Amen. Our second reading this morning is by Jan Richardson. It's called Blessing in the Chaos. She writes, to all that is chaotic in you, let there come silence. Let there be a calming of the clamoring, a stilling of the voices that have laid their claim on you, that have made their home in you, that go with you even to the holy places, but will not let you rest, will not let you hear your life with wholeness or feel the grace that fashioned you. Let what distracts you cease. Let what divides you cease. Let there come an end to what diminishes and demeans, and let depart all that keeps you in its cage. Let there be an opening into the quiet that lies beneath the chaos, where you find the peace you did not think possible and see what shimmers within the storm. Amen. Thank you. So I have a book of to-do lists. It's a little notebook with a nice cover, and every day I go to a fresh page and I write down everything, at least in theory, that I need to do that day. They say your brain uses up a lot of energy when you are just trying to keep track of everything that you need to do, and allegedly just writing it down frees up mental space, and I need all the mental space that I can get, so yes, I write down the list. At the top, every day, I put exercise. Many days, the closest I get to exercise is the workout my wrist gets by writing exercise, but I know exercise is key to my health and well-being, so it goes on the list. If I don't do it, it won't be because I forgot. After exercise goes everything else. And including and especially the things I didn't get done the day before. Anything that was not crossed off the day before just gets moved onto the new list. Sometimes there are things that haunt the list day after day after day. There are some items that have been moved out of one notebook into another notebook with resentment, let me just tell you. It feels like that book is just haunted by some of those things. I was saying to Paul yesterday, I told him like some very basic thing I got done and how good I was feeling about it. Sorry. And Paul's response was, I get that stuff done too. I just don't feel like it's actually an accomplishment. And I was like, well, when I've avoided it for 4 days and finally do it, it does feel like an accomplishment because I'm not avoiding it anymore, right? Paul needs to like celebrate more the things that he gets done. Anyway, the items on my list, at least, are typical pastor things. Call that parishioner, prepare for that meeting, work on the bulletin, review that policy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the truth is that the list I write every day isn't really everything that I think needs to get done. There are all these other items written around the edges in some kind of emotional, invisible ink. Like, get everybody to pay attention to climate change so we can avoid total devastation. Figure out how to combat anti-Semitism while also talking about brutality in Gaza. Come up with a plan for the transformation of the local church and convince everybody of the necessary change. Figure out what is causing so much anxiety and depression among our youth and fix it. Now, I don't write those items on the list, but they are shadows on the page, and I still feel them as these urgent tasks, somehow falling to me under the umbrella of other duties as assigned. And there, I think I'm maybe not alone in that. Like, are there other people within the sound of my voice who occasionally have an overdeveloped sense of responsibility? Can I get an amen from home? Can I get an amen? I have to say, in some instances, it might be what we call a white savior complex, and it is not helpful. Now, if you don't fall into that particular trap, you might feel like you don't need to write all those items on your list, but you might just have a sense of overwhelm in this world today in face of the world's endless need. Amen to that. So I don't know if the ancient psalmist was a list writer, but it seems like they had a lot of urgent items they could have added to it if they were. According to this morning's psalm, the author was dealing with shaking mountains. Those are believed to be earthquakes that were happening in the area with some frequency. And there was conflict between countries. The psalmist calls it nations in an uproar. And of course, the psalmist also talks about actual war that's happening. But the psalmist declares God is in the midst, in the middle of all that trauma and turmoil. The psalmist says God is a refuge, a strength, a present help. Excellent. If God can handle earthquakes and war in ancient Israel, they can handle racism and gun violence in 2024. So God can just get crack-a-lackin' on my invisible list and we'll have this world straightened out in no time. I'll help out. We'll help out, right? We'll get a task team going. We'll get some postcards printed. Maybe we'll start a petition, right? We can get that stuff done. Except then God, through the psalmist, drops step one of the action plan. Step one, God says, is be still. God's going to fix everything, make it better, but first we have to be still. That is a terrible plan. Nothing makes me more anxious than doing nothing, which apparently God knows, hence the command, be still. Now, I don't know where the psalmist got this inspiration, and I certainly can't conceive of the mind of the divine, but despite myself, I can kind of see the wisdom of the whole be still thing. How many of the conflicts in our world happened because somebody felt they had to jump into action even before they had all the information? How much of our planet has been impacted by our desire to go, do, get, rather than pause, breathe, be? How often are we so busy yelling our convictions we don't hear our neighbor, never mind God's still small voice? What if part of the answer to the troubles of our world would have a chance to untangle if we just started with being still? Let's be honest again, I hate this guidance. I hate being still. I hate being quiet. I hate sitting with my own thoughts. I hate thinking, and Abaya is feeling me. I hate feeling like I can't fix everything. And the degree to which I hate this guidance makes me think it's probably exactly what I need. If you are someone who likes being still, excellent. This reflection is not for you, but you won't mind because you can just sit there being still. But for the rest of us, what if healing the world's pain starts with us stopping? Letting go of a desire to control, calming our mind, deepening our breath, grounding ourselves in the God who is in the midst of everything, including us. There's a reason that one of the clearest directions given to folks in AA is to halt. Is this familiar to folks? Halt is a reminder to check in with yourself and see if you are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Halt. Hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. If you are any of those things, the wisdom goes, do not make any decisions, do not have any big conversations until you have had a snack, a chance to process anger, time with someone who fills you up, and a nap. If you're like me, you've seen in your own life the importance of halting and the damage that can be done when you don't. I wonder how many community, international, and global conflicts might have gone just a little bit better if leaders had started with a snack and a nap. I think AA's advice is just a detailed version of God's ancient charge to us. Be still. But that ancient charge is feeling more necessary than ever in our saturated, wired world. Thankfully, you're in the right place, on site and online, to heed God's guidance. Worship is one of the few routines in our lives, along with practices like yoga and meditation, that routinely incorporate being still. In just a moment, David is going to play a little musical reflection. This is a great opportunity to practice being still. Don't look at what's coming next in worship. Don't start thinking about what you're going to have for lunch. Instead, just feel the seat beneath you and breathe, saying to yourself, be as you breathe in and still as you breathe out. So it'll be be. Be still. For my part, I've decided to add an item to my daily to-do list in my notebook of lists. Even before I write down exercise, I'll put be still at the top of the list. And maybe, just maybe, that will help with all the invisible items on the page, or at least help me remember that God is in the midst of it all. Amen. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share your joys and concerns aloud. All are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org. And we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Pam? So Pam's mom ended up in the hospital this week. Dehydration, lots of busyness with company, really had her pretty depleted. But she was able to be home last night and is doing, you know, she's tired. Being in the hospital even is tiring. But she's home now and doing better. Pam is celebrating a milestone on her weight loss journey, and we celebrate with you, Pam. Even while we also know God loves all bodies, every shape, any shape, God is in the midst of that too. Thanks, Pam. Other joys this morning. Lorraine. We're so glad that Lorraine, who had been hospitalized and dealing with some health issues, has graduated from physical therapy, is shortly going to graduate from the visiting nurse, and most importantly, is feeling better. All ready for her concert next week. 2 weeks. And I know, and I don't have the details on that, but it'll be in the bulletin. But that's the same concert that Judy, my friend from Westwood, is going to be in as well. Are you getting to sing at that one? Okay, good. Judy is with us today. She was a leader, is still a leader, in what was my first congregation, the place I was ordained like 26 years ago. Good to have you with us today, Judy. Other joys this morning. Paul? Oh! The Worthington Berries no longer have teenagers. Our youngest turned 20 yesterday, and we celebrate every milestone of his life, even though I cried yesterday morning. Laura. Oh my gosh, so many joys in there. So Laura and Charles's friend Chris is being ordained into the Roman Catholic priesthood this weekend. Their granddaughter, our niece, your niece, whose name I already forgot, Abigail, is coming from Arizona. She's been a longtime friend of Chris, so she'll be able to be there to celebrate. What a joyous occasion, Laura. So happy to hear that. Lane, do you have any joys up there? What concerns do you bring to this place today? I have one. Lane, do you have any? So the Robin and Jeff have asked us to pray for their neighbor's family. Jack, 49 years old, died this past week on vacation with his wife in Greece, heart attack in the middle of the night. So we're holding in our prayers his wife, Jen, and their kids, Drew, Landy, and Brooke. So many layers of loss and pain there. Yeah, Myrna.
There's no words. I don't, there's just nothing you can do. He has nothing. Clothes on his back.
We will lift all that up. So there was a house fire in the home where Myrna's son Chris lived with his wife. The entire home is lost. They have nothing. And his wife died in the fire. We will figure out what we can do to help support the family in every way, and including and especially Myrna and her son, and our prayers. Myrna said there's no words, which is true, but Myrna, our prayers and love are with you. Anything I missed today? Our pastoral prayer this morning is a Memorial Day prayer by Barbara Peskin. Let us pray. Spirit of life, whom we have called by many names in thanksgiving and in anguish, bless the poets and those who mourn. Send peace for the soldiers who did not make the wars, but whose lives were consumed by them. Let strong trees grow above graves far from home. Breathe through the arms of their branches. The earth will swallow your tears while the dead sing no more. Never again, remember me. For the wounded ones and those who receive them back, let there be someone ready when the memories come, when the scars pull and the buried metal moves, and forgiveness for those of us who were not there for our ignorance. And in us, veterans in a forest of 1,000 fallen promises, let new leaves of protest grow on our stumps. Give us courage to answer the cry of humanity's pain. And with our bare hands, out of full hearts, with all our intelligence and wisdom, let us create the peace. Amen. I get a lot of unusual calls and emails. I'm not talking about the church business offers that want to help us convert the entire world to Christianity. I mean the ones that come from someone who's just reaching out to every church that they can find to see if they can get some financial help or just someone to talk to. Because there are scams, like people trying to access our membership database, I generally have to ask a few questions just to make sure I'm dealing with a human. But that's really the only boundary I have to set before engaging with someone. I can email back and forth with someone who's going through a hard time and just wants to share their struggles. I can listen on the phone while someone processes their family history. I can even meet with them if they're local and up for it. And I can offer financial assistance if that's what will help make a difference. To be honest, sometimes those contacts come at the worst time, when I have a day full of meetings or a sermon to get done. But my own bandwidth is the only limitation to connecting with these people. Other nonprofits and local groups are often limited by eligibility criteria in order to even have a conversation. Does the person have proof of residence in Natick? Will they share their financial records? Can they limit themselves to a 5-minute conversation? As a local church pastor, I don't have to weigh those questions when it comes to a listening ear or offering a prayer or even financial help. And with a world in such tumult, it feels practically miraculous to be able to say to someone, Sure, we can talk. Sure, we can meet. Sure, this church can help. And all of that is only possible because of your generosity. You have decided to invest in a full-time pastor who will serve not only those who pay her salary, but also anyone who comes seeking help. So while it might be my voice on the phone, my hands on the keyboard, my face in the office, you are there. Because of your financial contributions, wherever I'm able to offer a bit of comfort in the midst of life's storms, it's really you that brings God's blessing into the chaos. So thank you. And as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, may our hearts be with those who are helped by our gifts. God of abundance, bless these gifts and especially the world that needs them. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 537.
Thank you.
following the postlude, those in person are invited downstairs for a little bit of coffee and conversation. Beloved, go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all persons. Honor all creation. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the love of God, the light of Christ, and the power and communion of that Spirit be with us all. Go in peace. Amen.